This is the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media. Now, here's Jason Jones.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Jason Jones Show. I am your host, Jason Jones, broadcasting from the hill country of Texas. And I have to say, we are happy in Texas. Today, it's been announced, you know, you heard the news, no masks, no social distancing, every business open to full capacity. The new normal is the old normal in Texas today. So I'm in a good mood. And this is the first Saturday special. We're going to do shows every Saturday. I'm calling them deep cuts. It's where I stay in my tribe, but we go outside the zone of the normal show. This week we had Steve Bannon on. We had Mike Huckabee on. But you know, I have friends that are pro athletes. I have friends that are some of the best in their industries, all across industries. And that's what we're going to do on Saturday. I'm going to bring shows to you, for you, specifically for you, right? The rest of the week, we're trying to save the world. Today, we're trying to save you. Okay, this is a deep cut show. And what does that mean, Jason? I don't even know. I just made it up, like right now. No, not really. I've been thinking about it. It's a Saturday special. My first guest. Now, listen, I am betting that you have never been more out of shape in your life because you are locked down, you have been overeating, you can't go to the gym, you're depressed, you know, you who knows what you're doing? People, you are struggling with, I know, I drank more since March. This is true. I'm not a big drinker, but then I say that, and then people go, dude, you're a big drinker, but I gave it up for Lent. But I drank more since March than I have in my entire life, and I know some of you have too. So who do I have for you as a guest to kick off our special Saturday special? Michael Senna, and he has 47 years as a health and fitness expert, voted the top 100 trainers in America 3 years in a row. He is the author of Lean Mom, Fit Family. He's inventor of the traveling trainer. He was the owner of Chicago's number one health and fitness and PT studio. Top trainer in Chicago, and he is currently the senior medical and health advisor of CanTech Labs. And he not only that, he married a beautiful woman from my neighborhood that we ran in the same set growing up, and he's from my wife's neighborhood. Really unbelievable. And this episode, you know, after this episode, I'm sure after we listen to Mike, we're going to need to take a nap. We're going to go work out. We're going to eat right. And we're going to take a nap. And, you know, I've been sleeping with my pillow for over a month now, several months. And it has made such a difference in my sleep. I told you last week, I beat Deontay Wilder in my dreams. And I think that my pillow had a role in that. I woke up, I felt so fresh. And I just beat Deontay Wilder, the best heavyweight in America. I give my pillow the credit for that. It's amazing. You will sleep good. You may not knock out Deontay Wilder in your dreams. I can't promise that. They never go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want. You know you got to wash your pillow. Don't be gross. It's made in the USA. If you don't have my pillow, or if you know someone who doesn't, now is the time. It is the best pillow. It is your favorite pillow, even if you don't own it, because you love Mike Lindell. I love the mattress topper. I have raved about the mattress topper, but right now Mike is offering a buy one, get one on his Giza sheets. It is made. These Giza sheets are made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. A fan of the show sent me a long essay on what Giza cotton is. And I said, you need to come on the show and talk about this. This is fascinating. It's a sateen weave. It gives them a luxurious finish. It's available in multiple colors, styles, and sizes. You know, Mike, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. You know, and Mike also always says, the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else, and I concur. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and there you will find not only this offer, but deep discounts on all MyPillow products, include the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Call 800-876-0500. 800-876-0708. That's 800-876-0708. And you must use the code Jones because I need credit. I need you guys to give me some credit. So let's get on with the show. Michael Senna, welcome to the Jason Jones Show.
Big J, couldn't be happier, honored to be here. You know, I'm a MyPillow fan because I have them. I got two MyPillows.
Did you use the code Jones?
No, I bought them years ago, bro, before I knew you. I've been a fan. Oh, absolutely.
So let's talk about the pillow. You don't have a code. I have a user code, so people are going to trust you. I love these pillows, and I don't even use pillows.
Yeah.
Because they always hurt my neck.
Let me tell you why.
But this one is great. When you're an expert in this, okay, why?
Well, look, the spinal vertebrae is the most important part of the human body because the central nervous system runs through our vertebrae. The cervical region, the neck region, is very, very important. And now that I'm tipping this the charts at 60 years old, I notice a lot of men and women, as we get older, we get stiffer up in the neck area. They're called levator muscles. They are known as the golf muscles. They're right here in the base of your skull. They're known as the occipital. They start to tighten up. They get tough. And when you drive a car, it's when you notice it most. You'll see people, they'll turn their head, but their whole shoulder girdle goes around. It's a really important thing. The cervical region's got to be. We tend to lose the natural curve in our neck as we age. And as we have trauma, it flattens out. So that my pillow has really done a great job for me in putting a little bit of a natural curve, relaxing. It takes there's so many nerves in your neck from the base of your skull down to your toes and of course down your spinal vertebrae. So I've been a fan. My whole family's been a fan. I think we got four or five of them in my house.
Well, and you know, it's investing in yourself. Like, this is an important thing. Like, I am my instrument. I always think my body. Right. That's how I justify training 5 days a week, going to the gym in the middle of the workday, because it's important for me, you know, to go to the boxing gym or go do Muay Thai, whatever my passion is. Yeah. And but also, if you're not sleeping right and you're not eating right, you're not getting enough water, then nothing else really matters in the long run, does it?
Yeah. Think about what happens at night. I mean, nighttime is the most critical time of the day, and I'll tell you why. Because rest and recuperation happens when we're sleeping. True recuperation, healing, happens when you reach REM sleep, rapid eye movement. So if you have a bad pillow, you got a bad mattress, you got bad sheets, you got bad whatever, bad juju.
Mike talks about, and this is my son raves about this, he says, yeah, Dad, I don't have to flip my pillow all the time. I'm not a pillow flipper.
Yeah.
But every time you wake up to flip your pillow, you're waking up, disturbing your sleep.
Because there's only a certain amount of time that we enter REM sleep. But if you get solid REM sleep, it will be more invigorating and restful than if you had 5 extra hours of just laying in bed. So REM sleep is key. And when you support your neck, and you don't activate nerves in a bad way, then you stay sleeping restful. But you also burn a maximum amount of calories from fat. They have done study after study over the years, Jay, where obese people do not sleep at night. They get no REM sleep.
And I know this from my friends who are obese. They're constantly complaining about not sleeping.
Right. Sleep apnea will come with it too. So propping your head and neck is very important. The vascular passageway and so forth. Having a supportive pillow is part of a physical fitness regimen. I agree.
Well, you know, I wanted to have you on the beginning of the year as we're making our New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
But the world is kind of... it's been crazy around me, and my movie came out, and you've been traveling for business.
Nice going on that, by the way. Congrats.
Thank you very much. Awesome. I see you promoting it everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, but we're having you on now, and I think it's really good timing because we're opening up.
Yep.
And, you know, about 10 years ago, I had made a movie, and I'm not kidding you. I shouldn't admit this. I had a bottle of wine or two a night for a year. This film, Crescendo, there's a little film, short film, but that film almost took my life. I mean, I was so stressed out. And every night I would come home and I'd have a bottle of wine or two bottles of wine a night. And after that, I weighed like 240 pounds. And my best friend, who is an American hero, 3 civilian Purple Hearts, has been in the Middle East since before the war, and you know, still there. And he saw me. He goes, "Jason, you're not the man I met. You let yourself getting physically weak, and your mind is getting weak, and your spirit's getting weak. You need to go train." This was about 10 years ago. So for me, my passion was, you know, martial arts since the fourth grade. And then I had dreamt of representing America and Japan at the world tournament. That's like the Olympics. It's every 4 years. And I did that. And I was injured. And then I kind of had, I'd have knee surgery. And then I was just getting ready to finish college. I said, you know, I'm just going to throw myself into college and come back to this. Daydreamed about it every day, tinkered around here or there, but more or less didn't train from then until 10 years ago. And when my friend said that, he said, "You're going to be, you know, you're undermining your own work that you're so passionate about." So about 10 years ago, I said, "You know what? I'm going to be in the gym as much as I can." And now I've had months of where I just can't make it.
Right.
Or I've lost the morale, or work is, I'm down. But more or less for 10 years, I've been more or less consistent. Not so much on my diet, but I don't know if you know, I've lost 25 pounds in the past 30 days.
Yeah, dude, you look great.
So I've been doing intermittent fasting, one meal a day for a month, and only drinking water. And so now I've lost 25 pounds. But diet is hard for me. Drinking a gallon of water is something I'm really committed to do this year, and I've not missed a day. I've been a gallon a day since January 1st. But now this is probably better than New Year's because we're opening up as a country. And people have never been more out of shape. They've never been more depressed. They've never felt more lost or confused. Maybe they've lost their business. Maybe they've lost their job. They've definitely been struggling. Their relationships are cracking. And maybe the one thing that we're opening up as a country that we can control is our health.
Yeah.
For most of us, we can control our diet. We can control our water intake. We can do our best to control our sleep, and we can control whether or not we're working out. So you're the guy.
You know, Jason, you bring up a really great point. All we do is spend time talking about the financial boomerang that's still going to hit us in this country from being on lockdown. And you know how I feel about things. I believe it was extremely unnecessary, but I digress. We're going to see a worse tsunami of mental health and physical health damage. Remember, they're worried about that. They were worried about Jerome Smith, the attorney, the Surgeon General, Fauci, whatever his title is. Are you kidding me? You're worried about hospital overload? The amount of damage done to the mental health of our gentry and our population, civilization in America, or our citizens, I should say, is going to be astronomical. You know, obesity, back in early 2000s, I wrote my book in 2004. I was doing a lot of research. Back then, overweight and obese conditions was at 68% of a 320 million population. The Surgeon General was about to classify obesity as a morbidity category, and they backed away from it. And it was because it was higher than deaths from heart disease, cancer, you name it. Heart disease is still number one. Diabetes is going to pass that very soon. I bet diabetes clicked up a few notches on this lockdown.
How could it not? You're drinking alcohol, right?
Excessively.
I always
eating.
Tell people, like, diabetes doesn't run in my family. Alcoholism does, right? There's a lot of older men in my family with diabetes. I'm like, look, diabetes does not run in our family.
Yep.
We drink too much for 20, 30, 40, 50
and
years.
Alcohol,
what do you think?
Alcohol converts to sugar.
Right.
Right? Pasta converts to sugar. Chocolate cake converts to sugar. And we don't realize how much we take in. And plus, the food is really devoid, I should say, of nutritional content in this country. It's terrible. You know, you see commercials, get 2 for $5. Right. So get 2 clogged arteries for $5 is basically what they're saying. So movement is most essential. You know, when the pandemic broke out, Tina and I, as you know, we have our own segment called Fitness Fridays with Michael and Tina. We used to be on the radio in Indiana on WJIB.
You guys, look, let me tell you, first of all, you were on national television. I've seen you there. You were on a reality show. I remember flying United. I used to fly United all the time.
That's right.
And you'd be there teaching us how to exercise on the flight from Chicago to Honolulu. I remember that.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I was their health and fitness contributor for several years. United Airlines wrote out articles for Hemispheres magazine. And we were just trying to help people. I mean, you take a flight from Chicago to Honolulu, and if you don't get up and move, there's a chance that you could get a DVT, deep vein thrombosis. You go out and go get a massage at a hotel in Honolulu when you get off the plane, and that turns into a pulmonary embolism. You could die from that. And people were dying. That's why United Airlines came to me. Yeah, to help avoid that. But the point I'm trying to make, sitting idle, adding to the already sedentary lifestyle of most Americans has to be the number one worst thing. We were trying to tell our viewers and listeners the five tips. I've yet to hear Jerome Smith, and I'm going to name him as often as I can on your podcast here today. He is the Surgeon General. And Fauci, never once did they say the following. Get exercise. Eat well. Eat healthy, clean. Get plenty of sleep. Drink half your body weight in ounces of water and take supplements like vitamin D and zinc. Do you know a study just came out that they said that 90%+ of everybody that got COVID and suffered severely from it was devoid and had low levels of vitamin D. And doctors supported that over and over. Take more vitamin D. Get zinc into you. Get vitamin C.
Well, how many people do we know? We moved to Texas for the same reasons. Freedom.
That's right.
And
freedom!
And I have these friends who are like, wear two masks. Social distance. Don't go outside. I'm like, oh my God. I take zinc. I take vitamin D, I take vitamin E, I exercise, I get out in the sun as much as possible.
You're not going to get hurt.
And I said, you know what? Why don't you do that? No, double mask.
Double mask.
Stay inside.
Yeah, that meme came out. That meme came out with Fauci who had a box on his face. Right. Not, don't wear two, don't wear three, why don't you wear a box?
Why don't they tell people to do the simple things like diet, exercise, drink your, you know, I drink a gallon of water a day. The best thing when I'm doing that, things are great, right. You know, and that's the easiest thing we can all do.
Jay, my personal opinion is that there is no money in the cure. Imagine if they told Americans, and they do to some degree, but imagine if 60 or 70% of America exercised regularly, ate well, ate clean, as I always say, drank water, did all these things. There'd be nobody in a hospital. There'd be nobody in a doctor's office. God gave us an incredible mechanism called the human anatomy. It is the most sophisticated machine ever created, and it is divine creation without a doubt. All you have to clean your kidneys out. You have to clean your liver out. They're filters. Why do we go for oil changes in our cars and change our oil filter, but we can't change our kidneys, but you can clean your kidney. You've got to drink water. I like to tell somebody, you weigh 200 pounds, you've got to drink 100 ounces of water. That's the goal. If you don't, it doesn't mean you fail. It means that's the goal.
And at first it's hard, and then then it's easy.
Right.
I finish a gallon now by one or two.
Let's talk about what controls us. With fitness. It's called the hypothalamus. It's a part of the brain that is responsible for the body's internal environment. I'll give you an example. If you are drinking water more frequently than Coca-Cola or soda, let's not pick on anybody, soda, then your hypothalamus will tell you, I want more water. If you eat five greasy, juicy hamburgers every week with fries, your hypothalamus will say, give me the burgers and fries. The hypothalamus, though, also has a duality, right? If you get the proper balance of your macronutrients, protein, carbohydrate, fat, and water, your body will operate properly. Your vital organs will cleanse themselves, rejuvenate themselves, and last for a long, long time. I'm convinced that cancer, The leading cause of cancer is the amount of sugar we take in our body. Everybody thinks it's fat. It's sugar. Sugar shuts down our systems and obviously leads to diabetes. But the hypothalamus also craves bad things. So whatever the addictive behavior is, burgers, donuts, fries, cigarettes, alcohol, illicit drugs, the hypothalamus has that, like I said, a duality, a dual purpose that makes you crave that. You see, I always tell people when you try to lose weight, you have to reprogram your brain. And it comes by, you know, this, I think it's Golo is the new one out there. And they're using the right words. They're saying there's a psychology to it.
What's Golo?
It's a new diet program that's out there. And they've got all these testimonials and they're showing all these people. But what they're saying is correct. Whether their methodology works or not, I haven't looked into it. But you have to be honest with yourself. You are what you eat. If you eat saturated, lard-laden food, that's what you become. And disease festers in that type of environment. Now, do we all know triathletes, marathoners, bodybuilders, other people, fitness people that have died and we all thought they were healthy? Yeah, but there were predisposed issues. There were comorbidities involved in their genetics.
And my grandfather, who was a York barbell man and, was benching in the 300s in his like early 60s.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. He was selling Shaklee vitamins door to door in the 50s. This kind of guy.
Ahead of his time.
And he would tell me when he was a young man, I mean, he's always fit. Today, he's like, Jason, I did, he doesn't do like, I'm going to do 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups. He's like, I did 30 minutes of push-ups, 30 minutes of sit-ups.
Fantastic.
Da-da-da-da-da. And he's in his 90s. But what he used to tell me, and, you know, my mother had me when she was a teenager, and my grandmother had my mother when she was a teenager. So, like, they're my grandpa, and my grandpa's a little older than my grandma, but, you know, I'm almost 50. My grandpa's in his, so he was not that old as I was growing up, right? He's in his 90s. So, but he would always tell me, I don't know how long I'm going to live, Jason, but I'm going to be healthy.
Quality.
I'm going to have a quality of life. I'm going to be healthy for all of it.
That's the idea.
And, you know, he could have gotten cancer at 50.
Yep.
He could have gotten hit by a bus at 60.
Right.
But now he's 90. Amazing. Doing a half hour of handstands.
You just brought up something really important. You know, I had a heart attack. I want everybody to know that. Here's a perfect example. October 26, 2019, only a couple of years ago, I had a heart attack at 59 years old. There's no heart disease in my family. I don't take drugs. I was stressed. I was living in Indiana. We were trying to build a house down here in Texas. I was traveling on planes, trains, and automobiles all over the country, and I started to eat on the road. And you know what happens when you eat on the road all the time. You make bad food choices, even me, even the so-called fitness guy, right? And I want to admit this. It's therapeutic for me to admit this. I had a hard time at first. But we all are human, and we all have vulnerabilities and weaknesses. It's okay. But try to have a regimen like you do 4, 5, 6 days a week, not 7. That's unrealistic.
And Sunday's God's day, first of all, for me,
Sabbath,
period.
Sabbath.
Period.
Sabbath. Got to stay, take it off. You rest the body. There's a reason rest is important. And the older we get, you've got to rest more. You and I have had this conversation.
I've gotten exertional rhabdomyolysis twice.
Yeah, that's
and for you guys, what that is it's when I travel, I surfed in the morning, flew, went to Chicago, went to a boxing gym, boxed a couple of rounds, drove to Notre Dame, gave a speech, went to my hospital, collapsed, and was hospitalized for two weeks.
You told me.
And my organs just said, don't surf, fly, box, and give a speech.
Did you eat through any of this?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because you're an adrenaline junkie like me.
No, maybe what I probably had coffee. I went through
dehydration.
Listen to what I did. You're not going to believe this. As I was leaving Chicago to go to Notre Dame, I stopped at Three Floyds Beer.
Oh, classic Indiana.
In Indiana,
because
Nick Floyd, the founder of Three Floyds, was one of my best friends in elementary school. He's from where your wife is from.
Yeah.
So I have to, it's the most number 2 beer in the world.
That's right.
So I'm like, I'm going to go grab a beer. I went and had one beer, got in my car, drove. And but I want to get to extreme athletes at the end. So let's start right now with, because I want to be ask you some, you know, for folks who are listening, who were extreme athletes or they were really serious about sports when they were younger. Great. I want to get to them.
Yes.
But first, most folks, that's not them. Right. And or it was, but they're, you know, we're older now. We've had injuries. Da da da. What is your advice if, you know, you're, you know, to the people listening who look, I know what folks are dealing with at the bottom end of the problems is just we haven't been eating right. We've been stressed. And then we're progressing into alcohol, shattered marriages and relationships. And there are people listening and there's no shame in this. This is true. Mm-hmm. I know. The prescription drug epidemic with opioids is everywhere. I have friends. I talk about it a lot on this podcast in strange ways because I have friends and family members dealing with this. So that, you know, that's who I want to talk to. Now, where do they begin? You know, now we're opening up as a country. We're like, hey, we're taking it back. The first thing is I want to be joyful, yeah, healthy, and happy. So where do they begin?
So allow me to start here as well. From 2006 to 2016, I was addicted to opioids. And I was addicted to opioids not because I was looking to get high, but because my doctors gave them to me because I am a former athlete. And so I understand what you're talking about. And whether you're a former athlete or not, opioids are the devil in a pill form. They grab you. And
I don't think you told me this. So
yeah, this is new. Okay. So this is very true. And I told my story is that I found a hemp product, a CBD / CBG product that I'm actually became their top distributor and salesperson for the company, and now I'm their senior medical and health advisor. It's been a 3-year love affair because it saved my life and it saved others.
Okay, this is big. Now this is a different direction. So, yeah. But I want to talk about, yeah, this because CBD, I didn't want to do it. I use CBD,
yeah,
because I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. It's marijuana. And my doctor's like, look, no, it doesn't. There's no psychoactive elements to
it
all.
Depends which one, though, Jay.
Okay.
There are some that still have higher levels of THC in it.
Okay.
You have to select one that has free.
So I've used THC-free ones. And my doctor finally, I broke two fingers doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. They wouldn't go down. The swelling wouldn't go down because I was traveling, carrying cases of my books,
right,
up and down on the plane. My doctor's like, just take the CBD and watch the inflammation go away.
Oh, isn't it great?
So I did, but then my back went away. My back pain. Now I'm going to get too personal for you guys. Like, this is deep cuts. I've struggled with IBS my entire life. That was alleviated.
Yep.
And
that's all inflammation, by the
way.
And
I have IBS strategies on how, yep, I read.
Yep.
Now this is going to sound, people are going to go, Jason's lost his mind. I'm telling you, with my ADD, it helped. And with my IBS, it helped. And people are like, this guy's telling us too much information right now. But what you're saying is this, you know, Boss Rutten, who's a devout Catholic and an MMA champion, best UFC legend, said that CBD got him off of opioids.
That's correct.
So explain to me how CBD gets people off opioids.
Okay. So once again, the hypothalamus is in control. So I started taking 4, 6, 8, 12, up to 24 a day. 24. And I got half of them from my doctor and half from a dentist I know back in Chicago. From the black market, because I was taking 24 a day. Do the math, times that by 30 days. That's a hell of a lot. So the reason CBD worked for me and for Vas Rutten and others is because the brain is in a state of non-homeostasis. So the pituitary gland, which is responsible for distributing hormones in a balanced format, is not getting the right signal. So when you ingest a quality hemp product, CBD is just one of the many molecules that are in a hemp plant. Your hypothalamus tells your pituitary gland, release a little bit of dopamine, which we know gets rid of pain, and a great deal of serotonin. Serotonin is nerve rejuvenating. It's the hormone that helps us sleep. That's why we're trying to get more sleep. It repairs the body. My body was broken down, but I was out of homeostasis. So by taking this hemp product, it gave the correct signal to my brain, hypothalamus, to tell my pituitary gland to release this serotonin. And that's what Gronkowski, MMA guys, anybody else, normal walk on the street, anybody listening to our show.
Or people dealing with depression. I'll tell you what, I had to have an emergency root canal. I was National Grassroots Director for Brownback for President. And it's like a stressful, miserable experience. Well, I've never been a big person to use any kind of drugs.
Right.
So I went to the dentist, and they gave me, what's the opioid they give you after, not a
Percocet?
Wisdom teeth pulled. Whatever it was some powerful opioid, maybe Percocet. I took it, and I never felt better in my life. And so what I did is I went to the hotel, and I dumped them in the toilet.
Yeah, all good.
Because I had been so stressed out. I went from not only not feeling the pain of the wisdom tooth being removed, but all of the stress of a presidential campaign. And I not only did the stress go away, I felt euphoric.
Right.
And I can see how people who struggle with depression.
Oh, that's it.
These become.
That's it. But I felt when I took my first dose, and I took five leading brands, they did nothing. When I took the right one, I felt euphoria. That's when I called my wife with tear-filled eyes and said, honey, I found what will help me get off this stuff.
So Tina knew, your wife knew that you were struggling with this?
My wife was called. No, there was no hiding it. I was an animal. I was hard to live with. I was yelling at customers, yelling at my young daughter. It was a bad
time.
Now,
earlier, maybe you fudged with the truth. When you had your heart attack, you said, I didn't do drugs. Now you opened up. Were you using opioids? Do you think that contributed to your heart attack?
Well, I stopped in 2017, the beginning of 2017. Okay. I had my heart attack in 2019. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you that those had something to do with it. I can't tell you that. I don't see any studies that relate the two.
But, okay, maybe.
But maybe, maybe not. See, the thing about opioids, different than analgesics, which are Tylenol, Advil, and the rest of them, is they don't eat out your vital organs. So I don't know if it actually ate at my heart. I don't think so. It works with the brain. That's why opioids got such a welcome mat when they came out, because they weren't going to hurt our vital organs, kidneys, liver, spleen, heart. They were going to the brain.
Okay.
But anyway, so anybody listening, so important. First, you have to want to kick the habit. That's very important. You got to have the stick-to-it-ness. And then you can find redemption with a quality hemp product. And again, not all are created equally. There's a lot of garbage out there. The ones that you sell at a gas station, do not buy that. That ain't
right. We're not advertising here for
no. I'm not.
But I would agree. No. I think CBD's helped me. So there, we hit the nail on the head. We went deep real quick.
Right, but let's go back to what you wanted me to talk about.
Yeah, so real quick, I'm glad we did this.
Yeah.
And we already did.
We could do a whole show.
You know that introduction we just did? I'm going to redo that intro. Oh, so, because this is deep, and I want to, in the intro, let people know where this kind of went.
Yeah.
So they got to take, we got to take care of those serious problems first.
Correct.
Those mental health problems, those addictions, those things need to be taken. And maybe we need to go to AA or something, find some kind of program that, and it's no shame. Like, look, all of us were ambushed by history, and we're finding ourselves in some tough places. So while we're taking care of, not after, right? I think we need to begin our health and fitness immediately.
Immediately.
But while we're taking care of our addictions, are these sort of serious mental or maybe mental health problems, we need to now, let's get to, okay, I haven't worked out in years. I've never done it really serious. I was an athlete, or maybe I was, but it's been so long and my body hurts. Where should we begin?
Remember Jack LaLanne?
Are you kidding me? My grandpa, okay. I grew up with, okay, Jack LaLanne's
you
biggest
and I
fan.
Do, but maybe some young viewers don't know. Jack LaLanne was the true godfather of fitness. Not Jane Fonda, not Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne used to say, you want to get high without going to jail? Go work out for 2 hours a day. That's where you start. You see, natural release of hormones, endorphins, serotonin, and exercise also flushes out the cortisol, the bad hormone that helps us add weight to our bodies. So walking, start with walking, but do something consistently. Don't say, like so many people say, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm working out 5 days a week starting January 2nd. Oh, you know what I say to those people? You just set yourself up for failure. You'll never make it. I'll bet on it. I'll bet 1,000.
Yeah, don't start. What are you waiting for?
No.
I know what the guy said. I'm going to start going to jiu-jitsu, but I want to get in shape first.
Unbelievable.
Go to jiu-jitsu. You'll get in shape.
Exactly.
Go to Muay Thai or boxing or tennis.
Movement,
you'll get in
shape. You want to change your mood? Move. You want to change your mood? Move. So if and to what you said, I'm going to say I disagree. Maybe you don't have to go to AAA. Maybe you just need to start taking care of yourself. Maybe you need, I know you need counseling. We need a support system. But maybe take a quality hemp product. Start taking your daily vitamins. Start drinking more water. But just movement. If you like to jog, jog. If you like to run, run. Do it 2 or 3 days a week for a short period of time. Form a habit, right? It's a good habit or it's a bad habit. Form a good habit and your hypothalamus will remember.
You know, I'm so glad you said whatever it is you like to do. So I'm not a weightlifter. I'm not going to go lift weights or I'm not going to run. You know, the army beat that out of me. But I'll go to Muay Thai for 3 hours.
Go,
I gave myself heat stroke this summer when I first moved to Texas because I did 3 hours straight in 110 degree weather. And my wife was doing all these fitness classes. She is an amazing tennis player, but she hadn't played in 20 years. And she's like, oh, I'm going to get in shape first.
Yeah.
And I said, but then she would never stick to these regimens. I said, why don't you do something that pulls you rather than something you need to be pushed to do? Do you know, we moved here. She's playing tennis now, like every day, daydreaming about tennis, watching the Australian.
Oh, I didn't know that about
Australian.
Alex.
Oh, she's amazing. She's Chinese. Like, I don't want to spread stereotypes. But racket sports, the Chinese, like it's a thing.
Oh, that's funny.
So she listens to, on this podcast network, there's Patrick McEnroe.
Yeah.
And she doesn't listen to my show. She listens to Patrick McEnroe's show.
Right.
And I'm very competitive. I want to have more numbers than any of the
other. That's great.
So, but you got to find what pulls you, right? Now, so everyone, I always tell people what you did as a kid, like, did you play baseball? They got adult baseball leagues now.
Yeah.
There's softball, basketball, volleyball, soccer, flag football. Whatever you did as a kid, whatever you wanted to be when you were a boy, when you were 9, what did you want to be? If you say football player, go do that. And that's what I do. And that's been great for me. What if there's a lady listening who's like, I never had any athletic aspirations or had any sports?
You don't have to be. In fact, you want to even be careful because, you know, that expression, weekend warriors, those are the guys or girls that get hurt because they're thinking back or they're looking at their trophy case in their house that has dust on it. And they're going, yeah, I used to be that guy. You're not that guy anymore. You got to take it easy. But you got to get your body, you got to ramp it up slow, Jay. I recommend to anybody listening, regardless of your fitness level or what you used to be, if you're just getting started and you're asking for sound advice for your viewership, your listenership, start to walk. Just start to move. Your ankles, your Achilles heel, your quadriceps, your lower back, they got to get used to something. Start slow. Start 15 minutes, 2-3 days a week. Next week, go to 18 minutes. Then go to 20 minutes. Walk it up. Form the habit and keep the habit. You have to wean wellness into your life. Don't let it. Don't put. Try to put your life into your wellness program. It doesn't work. I've been doing this a long time. I've seen so many people fail. I'm going to do this for the... No,
well, you know, right? Don't go to the gym. If you're going to take a break from the gym, January 1st to January 14th, by January 15th, it's back to normal.
No, I think it lasts a little bit closer to March 1, but I think hopefully they're finally out. But I've seen that. I used to own 3 gyms, so we knew. We got a rush of people, and then they started to fade as February came. So you're right about that. And that's probably the worst thought. You know, I used to run promotions with Tina back in Indiana in our gym called ProFit. New Year's resolution started July 1st. July 1st. I said, you keep going to cocktail parties and holiday parties every year. Oh, yeah, I got to lose this gut. Yeah, I'm going to start in January. Yeah. And then you keep gorging yourself and piling the liquor in and the hors d'oeuvres, and you put on another 5 to 10. We used to call them the holiday heavies. That is the worst thing in the world to ever do. Get in shape for the holidays starting in July. So when Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and Kwanzaa and any other holiday you want to celebrate, because food and holidays go together, you don't have to feel so guilty. You'll be in shape at all these parties. You'll be in shape when you see your relatives you haven't seen all year. And they'll give you compliments and you'll feel great. And then you could pick at some of the great foods. You know, I'm Italian. You know this. I mean, food, Christmas Eve meal, I got to eat 7 different fish. I got to eat a half a pound of pasta. I got to roll on the couch. I got to beat myself down with food. But I only do it then. And I bounce right back. Because I got in shape already, or I'm in shape most, if not all, of the year.
And maybe those feasts are good for you, actually.
They are. You need a mental reprieve.
Yeah, if you're disciplined in how you eat all year round.
Yes, sir.
These feasts, the Greek, the Orthodox, Orthodox are very disciplined with their fasting.
Yes.
But boy, do they feast.
Yes.
And that's good for your mind.
That's right. And your body. And your body.
Yeah.
And Jay, you know, to encapsulate what you and I are talking about today and why I'm so frustrated and irate with our so-called health agencies of this company. We're like in third world, the way they don't tell us the right thing. Healthy body, healthy mind. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? The first thing you should have said to everybody is, if you're in a climate where you could get outside, get walking, get moving. No, they locked us down. They didn't have an ounce of science to prove that you could go outside and you're not going to get sick and die.
So my neighbors, when we were living in Hawaii during the lockdowns, when it was pretty really, really strict, I would walk around the neighborhood in a tank top, shorts, and no shoes. And my neighbors would say, what are you doing? Like, no mask, you're not even wearing shoes. I said, hey, I got to get this immune system strong. Right. You know, right. I'm used to seeing a lot of people being, and I got, no, I'm out here exercising my immune system.
Well said.
And, you know, I've been giving speeches at rallies. I've never stopped training. And by God's grace, I haven't gotten COVID. Don't want to say COVID is not serious. My father had it. It was very serious.
Right.
My wife's father passed away from COVID. He was 88 years old. We're not saying it's serious. We're saying that we managed it foolishly.
That's correct.
We devastated the economy. We destroyed the psychological health of people. And maybe Florida and New York have similar numbers when it comes to COVID deaths. But I bet that New York's numbers on mental illness and suicides, these other things, is through the roof.
Right. But remember, Dade County, Florida, has the number one population of elderly. So that's not fair.
That's
right, my brother. And guess what
that
number
is
two
a good
is?
Point.
Allegheny County in Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
Yes.
Thank God Cuomo is not governor of Florida.
Exactly.
It would have been a massacre.
And remember, number two and number three of the elderly deaths, Jersey and Pennsylvania. They did the same thing, but they didn't do it like Cuomo. But remember, it is a virus. We have viruses all the time. COVID, Corona-19 has been around for years. But you mentioned the key, strengthening your immune system. That's why so many people died of AIDS, because they had HIV. Their immune system was so weak that they couldn't fight it off, and they eventually got AIDS. So it was the weakened immune system.
So acquired immune deficiency syndrome caused by HIV.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now we're walking. We're drinking water.
Right.
What was the number you gave again? I just drink a gallon.
I drink half my body weight in ounces of water.
Okay, half your body weight in ounces.
It's still more than a gallon.
More than a gallon.
Right, 64 ounces is a gallon,
okay.
Right?
Okay, yeah.
But remember, your cell in your body, every cell is 70% water, 20% protein, 10% nutrients. So you've got to fuel your body for what you have in it.
Yeah.
See, it is, me and my wife, Tina, have always taken fitness to the cellular level.
Well, you you're almost 60.
I am 60.
You're 60. What's your body fat? I mean, you have no body fat.
I'm under 15%.
You look like a bodybuilder still.
Thank you.
And your wife is in better shape than you.
Better shape
than me. A lot better shape than you, brother.
Oh, go easy there, my brother.
I mean, women are supposed to have higher body fat percentages. Hers is lower than yours, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And my visceral fat, though, I measure my visceral fat. That's the fat that lives around our vital organs. That's what kills us.
Now, how do you measure that?
10%? No, certain scales. Tanita scales. They're known as, and you get on barefoot at your doctor's office if they have it. Functional medicine clinicians, naturopaths have those Tanita scales, and it tells you what your visceral fat is. It's quite amazing. So I'm under 10 there, and I'm under 15% subcutaneous fat. And my inflammation is extremely low. Why? Because I exercise, I eat good. Not all the time, but I eat good most of the time.
I mean, we live in Texas. If we ate good all the time, it would be a scandal.
You need barbecue. Yeah, You've been at my house with some good barbecue.
Oh, my gosh.
Barbecue.
Cooper, what's your favorite? Cooper's is my favorite, too. Absolutely. We found it at your house. Yeah.
So you want to exercise regularly. You want to eat good, clean food. You want to get as much sleep as possible. You want to try to drink a gallon or half your body weight in ounces of water. And I'm sorry, we need supplements. Our food is devoid of nutrients. You need the micronutrients now, right? Macro, protein, carb, fat, water. Micro, vitamins and minerals. You need vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc. And live your life with vim and vigor. And you'll have passion for everything you do. And you won't be depressed and bummed out very often, because your body is a fine, well-oiled machine, regardless of your age.
And no matter how far you think you've slid,
that's right,
you can quickly make up that lost ground. It takes a lot longer to get way out of shape than it takes to get in shape, doesn't it?
No, it takes a lot longer to get back into shape than it does. But here's what I say. It's actually 50-50, Jay.
Well,
it took me
like a long time to gain 25 pounds, but I just knocked off 25 pounds in a month.
Yeah, but you're a special breed. You, first of all, you're an MMA Muay Thai fighter. And you have to understand, you are in the one percentile of extreme athletes. That is extreme. You have great discipline. For those of us who don't have such great discipline. Now, as a bodybuilder, I wouldn't even look at a brownie because I was afraid it would be bad for me. So through my 20s, 30s, and into my early 40s, I was like my wife is now. But I always said to people, like, they'll come in when I was a trainer and they say, well, how long is it going to take me to get into shape? And I used to say, well, how long did it take you to get out of shape? And they go, well, a bit. I go, yeah, it's going to take you a little bit too, you know? So it's give or take. But certainly if you set extreme goals and you made it happen, and yeah, you're as lean as I've ever seen you.
Yeah, no, I do have a gift. I remember once I went on a 6-week trip, I said to my wife, I'm 230, I'm going to come back 190. She goes, no way. I had to buy two separate suits on the road.
Wow.
Because I looked like I was wearing my father's suit by the end of the trip.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just ate 800 calories a day, keto, one meal a day, and drank a gallon of water, and I lost 40 pounds in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that comes from sports that I did as a man.
It
having,
does.
Young man,
well,
having
the
to lose weight.
And the wrestling background. Mm-hmm. You guys went nuts with that.
Yeah.
See, I don't believe, I can't survive on one meal a day. Your liver needs 200 grams of carbohydrates daily to feed your brain. So I'm not as smart as you. So I got to feed my liver to feed my brain more often.
No, you know what it is for me? And I love intermittent fasting for this reason.
Sure.
I am, my wife, because you're an extremist.
Yeah.
I don't do moderation well.
You know what? It must be Chicago Heights, because you and my wife are from the same area, and you're both the same.
No, and this is what I want to say. What's amazing is, like, your wife grew up going to my uncle's restaurant.
Unbelievable.
Tivoli, which is the best restaurant in Chicago Heights.
That's right. That's right.
And we were talking about, we have a lot of friends in common, and we literally hung out with it. We had to have been at the same parties.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't do, like, Jason, have 2,200 calories a day. And that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
It's either going to be 800 or
8,000.
Whatever. Whatever.
Good pizza in Chicago Heights. Great pizza there.
No, so tell people about, we'll digress a little bit. So, okay, you just did something my wife wouldn't do. She's a New Yorker. She would never compliment Chicago pizza.
Yeah, by category, Chicago pizza is known to be stuffed pizza. And
that's not accurate to me from the South Side. I mean,
well, you're right. But down like Uno's and Gino's East, they're all stuffed. I have a GI issue immediately.
No, I can't eat stuffed
but
pizza.
There are some.
Aurelio's.
Aurelio's.
Is there any pizza in the world better than Aurelio's?
Yes. Lombardi's on Spring Street in Manhattan.
Okay. That's what my wife would
first
say.
Brick oven pizza.
I've been there.
The
I love it, but. Yeah. I love home run in pizza sauce is the best.
Okay.
But you know, it says in scripture that there's nothing like the water from your well.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like the pizza from where you ate as a kid.
Right.
So to me, Aurelio's is the best.
Now, let me ask
the
you this.
Sauce, though, and then there's this Pizza Lucia's. Yeah. You're not going to believe this. The best sausage I ever had. I think it's called Lucia Pizzeria or Pizza Lucia's. It's in Dubuque, Minnesota.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, the cheese, the sauce, and you're thinking Dubuque. I'm thinking this might be the best pizza I ever had.
I've you know, when I was on television.
And not Dubuque, Minnesota. That Dubuque is in Iowa. It's Pizza Lucia's. Google it. And if you're from there, freeze dry it. Send it over. It's amazing.
You still like pizza?
Oh, are you kidding me? The New York pizza here in New Braunfels is amazing. Have you had it?
No, I heard about it. Yeah, because
and the chicken. Look, we're doing a health and fitness show, and people
but,
are getting,
but again
ordering pizza.
But again, I like what you said because it's mental and physical reprieve. You're allowed to have. Look, I've always called Sunday spaghetti and meatballs day. That was the day I rested, and I carved up to get ready to bang the weight again heavy on Monday through Saturday or through Friday. So, but it never hurt me because I ate it in moderation. My body couldn't handle a lot of it because it was clean. So my mother would cook with heavy oil, but I would have it. But growing up, you have to have a cheat day. And when I say cheat day, a meal, not the whole day.
Let's call it a feast day.
Okay, feast day is even better.
And then Sunday is a day of feasting.
Absolutely.
So Sunday is a feast day. So
absolutely.
We need to have a day where we're feasting.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, health and fitness as a category means different things to different people. I've got friends up in Rochester, New York now. They're playing pickleball, is it called? I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what pickleball
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's like with a flat racket, almost like a paddleball racket, with a little low net. And they play pickleball or whatever, and they love it. Now, John Shattuck is my buddy. He's 60 years old. He's had, I don't know, 3 or 4 shoulder operations, 1 hip operation, but he moves and he keeps in shape. By the way, for anybody out there that's a little bit older than you know, a 20 or 30 year old, let me just emphasize the importance of cardiovascular activity. Now, I know I hated it my whole life. All you have to do is walk, but the certain antioxidants that are given off through the lungs that protect your heart could have helped me prevent my heart attack. See, because basically, I did nothing but weightlift for most of my life. I only did cardiovascular activity for getting ready for a contest when I was a competitor. That's a big mistake. And when you get older, it's different because I still exert, like I'll still do explosive movements with much lighter weight than I once did in my strength training routines. But you have to have a series of days where you keep your heart rate actually on the lower end. You burn more calories from fat, you burn fat, but you strengthen your heart by allowing the vessels to operate at a capacity that is not overloading the heart. And again, the release of those antioxidants from the lungs is extremely health beneficial.
And walking is also great. I think it socially is an activity. You see your neighbors, you wave at your friends. Like I always said, I want to live to be old for just one reason. I need a couple of years where I have no obligations to anyone.
Right, right, right.
Where I can just sit at the park or walk around a park and look at the human family before I pass into eternity.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, and when you walk around your neighborhood, you're like, oh, look at the trees here in Texas are unbelievable.
And you got to be, you know, I made a wrong turn. So I went around a couple of blocks here before I came in. I love this neighborhood. This neighborhood is.
It reminds me of Chicago Heights a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. I love it.
It's got a kind of a Chicago feel in the architecture. But the trees are not Chicago trees.
No.
Some trees. I don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
But you walk around your neighborhood, you get to know your neighbors, you see the children, you hear the birds, you look at the trees. And that's, so walking is something we should all do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's wrap this up for the regular folks. Then I want to move to the people who are athletes. Because I find some of in the older age demographic, the best guys you know that are 50 or 60 running triathlons or doing other kinds of extreme sports were never athletes when they were young.
Yeah.
They got into it later in life. And my theory is because their ego is never into it. So when they got into health and fitness later in life, it just naturally progressed to where they're doing these amazing things.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's just give them some pointers, like a list for the folks listening who are been in lockdown. They've been in a health and fitness funk. Give us like 5 steps.
Okay. Again, I have to say start slow. Again, I know I did a lot of work with doctors, especially orthopedic specialists in Chicago for 20 years in conjunction and cooperative efforts with my gyms. There are more ankle, knee, and hip surgeries going on for baby boomers today than ever before. And that is because many of us were those athletes and were banged up. Remember, it's called overuse. That's what Tommy John surgery is all about. And you're starting to see Tommy John surgery on. But anyway, you want to start very slow, regardless of your activity, start slow. Get that water in your body because your cell is 70% water. And eat food as fuel. Not for joy. Eat it as fuel. Give your body energy to get through your workouts, to keep your mind focused. Exercise, water, and good clean eating 80% of your week. Have your feast day on whatever day you want.
And I'm going to add one. Find what is fun for you, what pulls
you. Absolutely.
Like I daydream about boxing and Muay Thai all day, every day. This is my day. How many boxing gloves? The only thing I'm excessive on is owning a boxing gloves, right?
Right.
So find something that, you know, you're obsessed with.
Right. But if sitting on a park bench and watching families is what you like, that doesn't constitute. You have to elevate
your
heart
rate. No, I get you. It has to be a physical activity.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, I want to transition to people who are athletes. I think it's harder sometimes for them because their ego's tied into it, right?
Yep.
And I know when I came back, I went to a Kyokushinkai gym owned by Michael Jai White.
Full contact karate.
Yeah, you know that. We'll get into how you know about that. So,
Masamoto.
So when I came back, I went to Michael Jai White's school. I don't know if you know Michael Jai White. He played Spawn, and he was Mike Tyson in the Mike Tyson movie.
Oh, okay, yes, yes.
He does these great, he's funny. He's a really interesting guy. So I went to his school, and I was first week back, and they wanted me to come because I fought in the world tournament. And this is my first time training like in 20 years.
Whoa.
And they wanted me to come to their class on sparring, and they had a pro MMA fighter there. And I heard through the grapevine that he was talking crap about me. You know, oh, that guy fought in the world tournament, you know, 20 years earlier. I hadn't trained in 20 years, and he kind of talked smack. But I'm so grateful for that because maybe if I didn't hear about that, I wouldn't have kept training.
Yeah.
So it was really embarrassing, and it was very hard for me to come back. And sometimes even if I have a month or two or three layoff for work, I come back, it's hard. So I want to talk about this. You were on the IFBB board of directors?
No, I was an official.
An official?
Yeah, and judge.
And that's like Joe Weider. I mean, you knew Joe Weider.
I worked alongside him and Ben.
So you knew Joe and Ben Weider.
Yes,
so tell people who Joe and Ben Weider are for folks who don't know.
Well, the Weider brothers were revolutionary. Joe started back in the day of Dave the Rave Draper and even years before Arnold. He used to go around to the gyms when people were working out and he would say, "Can I just take your picture?" And he literally took pictures of people and printed them and then stapled them together and made a booklet and then went around to the gyms in New York City and sold them.
And that's became Muscle and Fitness
and
Magazine.
That became an empire of Muscle and Fitness.
Are you going to any sports store in the world and there's Weider products?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Worldwide. Huge. But so Joe then got into and they wanted to do the bodybuilding show. And the greatest gift to Joe Weider was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but he kind of found Arnold.
He found Arnold, the Austrian Oak, and then around Arnold, that's when bodybuilding was fantastic. You know, Reg Park and Larry Scott and Danny Padilla and all the great guys.
So now you were a competitive bodybuilder as well.
I was an amateur competitive bodybuilder in when I got out of college in the early '80s to late '80s, and then went to Rochester, New York after college. I was in doing some stuff up there with stocks. And then the local gym owner at Samson's, Jim Raquel, asked me to help him promote the shows. And I got into that and then did very well on the amateur level. And they asked me to come into the pros. And
you used to promote full. And so this is our connection. I would fight in Rochester or something. Yeah. I think it was called the Ultimate Test.
Yeah.
It was sponsored by Kodak and it was full contact.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. And people come from around the world. And you stopped promoting that event the year before I think
That's
I fought.
That's correct. we were the icebreaker to that in there, because I went and got, he approached me, Jim Rockel, because he suddenly got into karate. And he says, Michael, I love this. And he says, I could bring Masayama, I apologize, over from Japan. And I said, who's that guy? You know, I had no idea. And he says, well, blah, blah, blah. And he explained.
Well, no, he gave really kind of a perfect description. You said he's like, imagine if Arnold Schwarzenegger and Joe Weider were the same guy.
Right, right.
So, and what that meant is he was like the best fighter ever, and he was the best promoter ever. He became a great.
Right.
So it was a perfect description. He was like if Arnold Schwarzenegger and Joe Weider were the same guy. So you actually got to meet him.
Oh, I got to meet him, and it was a tremendous honor. And we got the Coca-Cola company up in Rochester had all these other brands, Perrier and Nesty. It was called the Nesty Iced Tea Full Contact Kaioken Shinkai Tournament. And we only did it 1 year, and we flew him over, and it was unbelievable. The interest was fantastic. I actually drew better from the crowd than I did in a bodybuilding event, because bodybuilding is really cultish. But people of any size and age and gender look at full contact karate and said, I could put a gi on and I could get into it. And in fact, I'd like to learn how to defend myself. So it had more application. And I actually, maybe a mistake in promoting, I didn't stay with that long enough, because I sold more tickets to a comparable show. Yeah, so
when I was going to that and fighting in that, it was sponsored by Kodak.
Yeah.
Which to me was pretty impressive. And
yes,
going back to food, I was so grateful for, I thought, oh, Kodak's a part of this. This is great. But been a rough couple of years for Kodak.
Yes.
They were an empire then.
Oh my gosh.
But one of the things I remember about Rochester was just the buffalo wings.
And let me tell you something. Rochester's got great Italian food, and they have great pizza up there. Oh, I've eaten it many a time, my brother. I went to RIT.
That's where we would train in preparation for that. We'd show up and we'd train there. I remember rolling out the wrestling mats.
Yeah, yeah.
There. So you were a bodybuilder. You were a competitor. So have you ever drifted from working out for any length of time where coming back was a challenge or humiliating, or you had to humble yourself?
Yes. I ran into some clinical depression. I'd say that was late 90s, to be exact. I was in Chicago, and I just didn't feel great. And I was running a gym, actually, but I just didn't want to work out. So I took 8 months off, and that was 8 months. I started roughly when I was 20. I'm 60 now. So 8 months out of 40 years. Otherwise, I've always done something, but I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. And I fought myself, and I had demons in my head, and I went to a doctor, and they gave me about 10 bottles of medications to take, and I stared at them on my table, my nightstand, for about 2 weeks, and never took them, threw them in the garbage, and I fought it, but it was hard. But I also let my body heal, because prior to that, Jay, I had 15, 20 years of squatting 400-500 pounds, week after week, month after month, benching big weight. So my joints were beat up. My body was beat up. And I needed a rest. And I needed a mental and physical reprieve. But it was about 8 months. Yeah.
So was coming back challenging?
Extremely.
Was it humiliating? What was it like?
I lost a lot of muscle.
So you go back to the gym, the guys that used to look up to you are looking at you like, who is this guy?
Right.
So what do you tell the folks who are like, you know, they were always the alpha male, and now they're older and they've built a business? And then I think that for those of you who were athletes that don't go in the gym, at least for me, I know it was my pride.
Yeah. Right? But ego and pride can be dangerous, right?
Yeah, no, you gotta.
So I know why you're bringing this up, and you're doing your listeners a service. You gotta check your ego at the door. You just have to. I mean, look at me now. I go in. I mean, I feel great, and I certainly work out more intelligently, I'll boast, than 80-90% of the people in the gym now today. And I could outwork a lot of 20 and 30 year olds because they're sitting on their cell phone. I don't get it.
No, I see that, you know, there's a toughness that's missing in this
generation. Oh my God, it's terrible. It's terrible.
I mean, you and I, we'd have to, our generations, we would have to be outside every day, all day, rain, sleet, snow, cold, you know, and there was just, and everything was playing football all winter long, baseball all summer long.
Nonstop.
And so, you know, again, this is where I go back to the playing. That for me, that one of the things that has really helped me, I think it takes a month before your ego's checked. And you're like, yeah, I'm an older guy. I'm the oldest guy here and whatever. And what's for me, what's been great. And I think if you're like, I don't know what sport I want to do, I would tell anyone like boxing or Muay Thai, it's easier to find probably a boxing gym. And I mean a real boxing gym. And if all they have are sort of these like, I don't know how to describe them, but they're kind of like boxer sized places.
Yeah, like not, you know, yeah. I don't want to name anybody.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But
what I like about the real boxing gyms, like this is for me. And when I travel the country, I go to the best gyms, MMA or Muay Thai or boxing. I'm just there to like admire. Like I can sit there and skip rope and watch the number two heavyweight in the world spar. And it's like a privilege. No other sport can you do that. Like you cannot go and suit up and play with the and practice with the
New York Yankees.
The Yankees or the Patriots.
Right.
But if you go to your local boxing gym, you're going to see world-class amateurs. You're going to see pros, especially if you live in a big city. Right. You can find those gyms, and you're going to see young, eager people, and you can mentor them because all of a sudden there you are. So for me, it's just a great opportunity to admire the fortitude and the heart of these young people. And that's just some of the best part, you know, is you get to be there and watch them train and then say, I'm going to train as hard as them. And I'm going to train harder than them. I'm going to look at that old guy and go, what's that old guy doing? So that to me is a treasure of my day. And I got to bring you to the gyms I go to here in Texas, yeah. Like in San Antonio. They're just amazing.
Well, you got me itching here because I fought as a boxer at a young age in the streets of the Bronx. I was getting my butt beat up all the time. I was a really skinny, langly guy. A friend in the neighborhood, Jay Howard, God rest his soul, who had done some time in prison for some nefarious things, but he knew how to fight. He says, come here. He says, you're getting your butt kicked. Let me teach you what to do. And he did. And I loved it.
So he brought you to a boxing gym?
Nope. His backyard.
Okay.
And he had an old army duffel bag filled with laundry and sand, and that was my heavy bag. And I learned.
You know, as a filmmaker, I hear certain things. I'm like, clip, file, put it into a movie.
Yeah.
There'll be a movie I do one day. You'll see two guys in the back of a.
Absolutely.
In the Bronx.
Absolutely.
In Brooklyn.
Yes, Bronx.
Bronx.
Bronx City Island, yeah.
All right, that's great.
And I do want to talk to you about that more, but. The one regret I have is that I didn't stick with it and I didn't get into the arts, martial arts.
Well, they have master's divisions for boxing.
I do. I've got a bad shoulder, though. So I am working with a peptide program now. I'm taking peptides.
And now, what's that?
Peptides are synthesized amino acids. They're through prescription. They're not that expensive, but they're being touted as wonder drugs. And there are no side effects associated whatsoever. I'm on beta myo.
Is this like SARMs?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Similar. Yes. Yes. Myo.
So in Hollywood, all my actor friends, like, you got to take these SARMs.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go to the health food store in the bad part of town and whisper in their ear, do you have SARMs? They said they're legal, but not illegal. And you.
Well, these are a category over from them, and these are legal.
Okay.
My nurse practitioner gets them for me through a script. And, thiomacin beta 4 is what I take all the time, 2 months at a time, and then I take off. That is what they first inject into your heart when you show up in a hospital for a heart attack. It rebuilds.
Jones show does not advocate taking this product. But, I just want to be clear.
But it is a medically used anecdote.
So this is prescribed to you by your doctor?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
100%. 100%. Okay. I do nothing illicit.
No, I didn't know if it was like SARMs. It's a fad in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and it's not illegal. It's not legal.
No, you get them at health food stores.
Yeah,
they're selling them,
but they're not going to sell them at like a GNC.
No,
you have to go to like
your privately owned health food stores will sell them. Yeah.
But
they're pro-anabolic, but they're not steroids. They're not categorized as a Class A felony.
Okay, so let's get to this. Maybe we'll end here and wrap this up. And maybe you want to talk about, you said you want to talk about City Island. I watched the movie. My wife and kids have been there. I've never been there.
We have to do the next City Island, you and me, because that is not, that does
that's
not
its depict, own show.
That did not depict what went on.
Oh, the movie. Okay.
Oh, man. I got a story of you. Two for you about City Island. That's a great place to grow
well,
up.
Well, before we wrap it up, tell people about City Island.
City Island is this.
It's like this mysterious.
Yeah.
It's like what?
It's a mile and a half long peninsula that hangs into the Long Island Sound. It's just adjacent to the Throgs Neck Bridge, and it's in the northeast part of the Bronx. And when you cross the bridge, the two-lane bridge, you come into this new world. It's like a New England nautical town. The 1977 American Cup schooner, am I saying that right? Schooner was built there in Minniford Boatyard. The Yankees, Frank Sinatra, Diana Ross, Sammy Davis Jr. all had boats on City Island at one time. The seafood, outstanding. So it was, we called it the Rock. And, Hart Island had a prison on it off of Fordham Street. So the bus of inmates used to come and go up. We used to yell at them. They used to yell at us. It was a whole thing. But, you know, there were a lot of drugs on the streets back then, and there's a lot of drugs on the streets now.
Was it a middle-class neighborhood?
It was a middle-class neighborhood, predominantly white Irish and white Italian. Very few people of color, although they visited the island on the weekends from the South Bronx to come and get seafood at the end. Johnny's Reef and all those, but fried shrimp.
So it was settled? Was it one of these just...
No.
How did the Irish and the Italians get there? Because they came in the late 19th, early 20th century.
It was just a melting pot, another cut of the Bronx. But most of the Bronx turned more ethnic, especially when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s. But that kept to itself. And
so my wife is from Fieldston.
Yes.
Do you know what now? What,
that, no, no.
It's Jewish. You said it was her. She said she went to a Jewish prep school.
I don't know exactly. I never talked
Riverdale. To, I think it's
that's Riverdale.
It's part of Riverdale.
That's, I think. Yes, Riverdale. Yes. That's and still known as the Bronx. And that's on the west side.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but great, a great place. Let me tell you, I've got a private high school education, Fordham Prep. I went to RIT, two great schools. And then my best education is the one I got in the streets of the Bronx. And I learned so much about life, about people.
In the 60s and 70s.
In the 60s.
I was born sound and the music.
Oh, my God, everything.
And the life and the...
And, you know, I am writing my life story book. It's called Rage, Born in the Bronx, Educated in the Streets, and Saved by the Cross. Because without my faith in God and Jesus Christ, which my Catholic parents instilled in me, I was a dead man. And I flirted with terrible drug issues at times. Tried to kill myself a couple of times. It was very intense. It was very physical. You had to fight all the time. It was territorial. But yet, the best times of my life. It made me who I am today.
Yeah, pray God.
Yeah, praise God.
I'm glad you are who you are today. I'm glad we've become friends. And such a strange...
we're refugees here in Texas.
Yeah, we're refugees here. I was telling a Texan today, I said, listen, I'm treating your state with the respect I would a country
that's right.
I emigrated to.
That's
because
right.
I came here for the freedom that the culture and the politics of this state offers, and I'm not here to change a thing.
Yeah.
I know you feel the same way, and maybe we'll wrap it up on some serious stuff. So as people are trying to get in shape, a lot of people are talking about testosterone replacement therapy. Is this something people should do? I've been tempted to it. But I'm a little hesitant.
Well, interesting. Here's what I learned over the recent years since my heart attack. Low testosterone levels will lead to heart disease. So a man over their age of 40 needs to have their testosterone levels checked by their doctor. Do a full blood profile. You know, you're always checking for your cholesterol, your sugar levels, and your testosterone levels. Hormones, or the lack thereof, the proper release of them, is leading to a lot of autoimmune disease in our country today. and bad food and stress. I mean, we have to be at an all-time high with stress. You brought it up several times in your podcast today. So, yes, TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. Remember, it's replacement. Nobody going into a med spa or a doctor's office today are getting enough testosterone as a steroid to go on stage and compete as a bodybuilder. Right. That's not what we're talking about here, because that counteracts your levels. And I've taken steroids in my life back in the day when I competed, and there's a chance that threw my levels off. But
do you think it could have contributed to your...
No.
Your heart attack?
No, because I never did it in excess.
And so you would just use it leading up to a competition?
Yeah, and I did it in my early 20s, late 20s, and never did it after. So it was too much. If I was going to have heart trouble, I would have had it then. I've always had a very good heart, and again, no heart disease or history in my family. But stress is the silent killer. And that's what happened to me.
Yeah, you can be my witness. If you look around my office, you'll see Shakespeare sonnets, you'll see a missal, you'll see a book I'm reading on Genesis written by Father Seraphim Rose. Then you'll see the newspaper, right? I read eternity before I read today. And that's something I do to manage my stress.
That's beautiful,
man. I read Plato or the Gospels. I read Shakespeare. And then I'll read the news. And the reason I do that, that's been part of my managing my stress, that I want to remember always that what I'm reading about today is set in eternity.
Yeah.
So, you know, that we cannot take the news of the day too seriously. Sure. And so it's, if you look at, this is where I sit every morning. Yeah. I do my reading. I read the proverb according to the day. I'm doing the Bible in a year reading series. And then I'll read a sonnet, a Shakespeare sonnet, and then some Plato, usually if I have time. And then I'll read the Epoch Times. You got to read the Epoch Times.
Yeah.
You know, my imprimis or first things, your new criterion, modern age. And then I go to my Flipboard, and my Flipboard's the news. It's like, what just happened? What just happened? But by that time, I'm preparing myself mentally. And then I do the first part of my work day. Now I'm stressed and I'm angry. I jump in the car. I do some phone calls on my way to the gym.
Yeah.
The boxing gym.
Yeah.
I box. I see these young men and women. And I hear them talking about their struggles, and we talk about their battles and their struggles and where they are in their life. And then it puts everything in perspective. I get in the car, I do some conference calls, or sometimes I do radio shows in the car driving home.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. It's important we have to manage our stress.
Yeah.
So I guess what I got from all of this is you just got to start.
Right.
Right now. And right. We're a liturgical people. We have seasons in our life. So you had your New Year's in July, right? Make your New Year's resolution. Well, I think we need to have our reopen resolution. You know, like, so for me, I'm not drinking now. I'm not drinking for a year. I said to my wife, I just drank too much. I will on Sundays. I'll have a glass of wine on feast days, things like this. But no more bottle of wine coming home. No more grabbing, you know, and now I'm in Texas, all these great Texas beers. It's an easy excuse. And then certain foods, you're like, if I eat this food, I got to have a shiner. If I'm going to have some barbecue, no. And more or less just water. I'm trying to really strict, just drinking water right now, not even juice. And then we just got to play. We got to find that thing is our play.
Yeah. I enjoy today immensely because we touched upon a lot of things. I start my day similar. I'm not as in-depth and as well-read as you. I start by thanking the Lord for three things I'm grateful for every day. Then I read a blog, inspirational newsletter by Clint Hurdle. Clint Hurdle is recently retired as the former head coach or manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team. And he was a great player. He was rookie of the year back in the early 60s, I think. Great guy. Was an alcoholic for more than 30 years. And so far, I think he's been sober over 20. And he started this blog, and he brings on Steve Gilbert and Stephen Covey and John Maxwell and Ed Milet from time to time and Rick Warren. And they write these inspirations, and there's usually two a day. One is very spiritually based, and the other one's just about life and common sense, which is one and the same, right? Because that's what the Bible is about. And it gives me tremendous aspirations. Look, I'm a little older than you, obviously, a decade. I had a lot of, I wouldn't trade my life for anybody's because God still has a purpose for me. I've had a lot of bumps and bruises, literally and figuratively. But I am in the great state of Texas by design. I came here, my plan was 4 years ago, we started. And I wake up in the morning and I have the ability to sit in my backyard, and you've been there.
Oh, I have to say, you have like the most beautiful house I've ever seen. No, I mean, your house is beautiful.
And it's
a beautiful daughter and a beautiful wife. You're living the dream.
I am so humbled and grateful, and it's just through God that I got it and that we have it. So we never forget it, and we always give him praise and glory. But I sit there, I have my coffee in the morning. I got friends coming to visit me this weekend, and they're up in Buffalo, New York, and it's like 20 degrees with about 4 feet of snow on the ground. They go, all I want to do is go into your backyard and have a cup of coffee by your pool. I said, you'll have that, Jeff, no problem. But give thanks. Put yourself in a good mood. Don't get caught up in everything. Things are temporary. You can change them. Your unhealthy state, temporary. Get healthy. Get moving, one foot in front of the other.
What a great adventure.
What a great adventure.
To say, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. Right. Let's do this.
Don't look at the hottie, you know, the 20-year-old guy or girl next to you in the gym and say, oh my God, I'm never going to look like them. Yeah, you're never going to look like them because you're not them. You're you. You may even look better. But don't set them as your goal. Your bar is your bar. Make little small gains every week that are measurable and quantitative, and hold yourself accountable. If you hold yourself accountable like you did to lose the weight you just lost, to stop the drinking, you did. See, you're practicing what we're preaching today. So there's no better example, Jason Jones, than you've done for your people today. And I'm honored. Thank you for making, I can't believe I'm on the launch show here of Deep Cuts. So thank you. This has been so much fun and really.
Well, we're going to have you back on. There's a lot. You know, what I love that you did, and I did not know about your struggle with opioids.
Yes, sir.
And you might, I don't know if you ever told me, I delete when friends share with me things that are sorrowful.
Yeah.
I think it's a defense mechanism, but I don't think you ever told me.
No, I don't.
And so we went deep there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do these Saturday shows because the Jason Jones Show exists to really, I joke that I want to learn how to be, not there yet, winsome, funny, and entertaining.
Yeah.
So that when people aren't paying attention, we're really talking about the needs of the most vulnerable people in the world.
Right.
And I think the show has done that by God's grace very well. And the work of our sponsor, the Vulnerable People Project and Movie to Movement. But, you know, but we can fall into vulnerability. Our audience, I don't care if you manage a hedge fund.
Right.
And you live in Manhattan. If you're struggling with opioid addiction, your marriage is falling apart, you can't focus on your children, and you're a month away from a heart attack,
That's right.
And so that's what I wanted to do these Saturday shows for. And so I wanted to kick the year off with this, but I think it's providential because now that Texas is opening up, this is the time.
It's unbelievable.
This is the new year. This is the time where we can take our excitement, our enthusiasm, regain our health, break our addictions. And wrestle those demons that have been haunting us this past year and pin them to the ground.
Yep.
And, so I just want to thank you, for being on the show, and we're going to do more of these, but thank you for opening up on your struggle. Because, you know, so many times what we're struggling with to think no one else in the world is, and no one will understand, everyone else in the world is, like, we're all in the same soup.
Yep.
Like what you're struggling with, I'm struggling with.
Absolutely.
We're all in the same soup. So I don't know. Were you thinking, I don't want to bring that up? Or were you like, no, I'm going to bring it up?
No. Well, first of all, I feel safe with you, number one. Number two is it's who I am.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And I got to be real. I just getting, as you're talking, I'm getting emotional now because it's an emotional thing. It's a tough thing for me.
Well, brother, I pray God that because you shared that some, you know, those of you, many of you who are listening that are struggling with that specific addiction, opioid addiction, which is addling my family, my friends, that you're going to wrestle that, You're gonna take care of that now. Now is the time. Now is the time. Yep. And you've probably been saying that. When we reopen up, I'm going to get this under control. Right. Well, here we are. Yep. And so I think it's providential that this show happened. Yep. And because we are all made in the image and likeness of God. Right. And we have all been blessed. And with the blessings that we live comes a responsibility to others. But we have to put the mask on our own face. Like, you know, they tell us in the planes, if you know, when the oxygen mask falls, right. You put on your oxygen mask, then you put on your children's.
Help others, right.
Yeah, so we have to make sure we have that oxygen mask on.
Yep.
I just want to thank you for opening up, brother.
My pleasure.
And I think that comforted a lot of folks.
Oh, I hope so.
Because, you know, when you were dealing with it, you thought no one else was dealing with it. It was just you, and you're embarrassed. That's how we all feel.
I didn't know about the statistics until only recently. I had no idea.
So you thought till recently this was just something.
Oh my God!
You...
I thought it was just I thought I was one in a handful. Had no idea, and then I heard you know, if I can just not to close on a bad note, but one of the counties in Indiana had so many deaths that they had to bring in refrigerator trucks because the coroner can only do 355 autopsies a year. So they were past their limit. So they had to put them in refrigerator trucks and wait to the next calendar year. I mean, horrific. And I was in the middle of my stuff when I found this out. I was fearing for my life, and I was so trapped because I knew I had to stop, but I couldn't stop. And then I went, and it took a job that I had to take in Pennsylvania that I would drive to 7 hours every other week to run into a guy that said, you better look into this thing called CBD. And that was it.
And that's the thing. And I'm a big advocate for the CBD. And we're not saying it's not hard to kick this thing.
No.
But it's kickable.
It's doable. 100%
doable. 100%. Not easy. 100% doable.
Right.
And then it's in the rearview mirror.
Yep.
And then you can share your story and help others.
That's right.
Once you get that oxygen mask on.
Terrible way to see our fellow Americans and children of God lose their life over this.
No.
It's unnecessary. Just unnecessary.
But in this dark and sorrowful year, we're not everyone. Like, look, I moved here, had a ready set friend, thanks to Kevin.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People I knew from Hawaii and people I knew from other things. And I know that it's a treasure to have a lot of friends.
Yes, sir.
And beautiful friends.
Yep.
A lot of people, where they live or their health or their life predicament, they didn't have these opportunities. And so it's completely understandable. But it's something that can be kicked. Let's kick it. Yeah. All right, brother, I'm going to wrap this show up.
You got it,
man. But don't go anywhere.
No,
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Michael, for being on the show. And I want to thank Michael for being on the show. I thought this was going to be a simple health and fitness show. But I think what happened is we hit on something much, much more important, that our mental health and our physical health and our spiritual health, they're all intertwined. And we got to get some of those things under control. And when I brought, as an aside, struggling with opioids, that maybe became the heart of the show. So let's commit, as America's opening up, the masks are coming off. I'm betting there's going to be festivals and mask burning parties, and there's just going to be a great renaissance of life and vitality. Let's kick our bad habits. Let's take our physical, mental, and spiritual health very, very serious, because our life, we're called to be joyful witnesses to others. And so we got to put that mask on ourselves. So the one thing I also want to say is play. I have an hour of play a day. I used to, when every time I'd go to the gym, I should do this again. We're going to be announcing a new social media platform soon where we're going to be on. But I used to hashtag recess when I would go to the gym every day, and I'd say I'm at recess. I think we all need to have an hour of play a day. Kids don't even have an hour of play. They took recess out of school. They took gym class out of school. No. We all, your children, your grandchildren, and you need to have an hour of play a day, because really, that's what we were created for, right? That's us living a beautiful life. Leisure is fundamental. Leisure isn't lounging around, right? Leisure is being fully human, being fully who you are. And so that's what this show is about. Thank you, Michael. And I have to say, this show is brought to you by water. Drink a gallon a day. Drink a gallon a day and use the code Jones with your water. Also, play. Today's show is brought to you by play. Make sure you have an hour a day of play. Sometimes you can't make it to the gym. Well, for me, an hour a day of play is I'm going to spend an hour reading Shakespeare sonnets to my children, and they're going to shake their heads and go, man, my dad is weird. Why does he do that horrible English accent when he reads Shakespeare sonnets? And of course, our real sponsor, as always, was MyPillow. And we're having a lot of sponsorship opportunities, and we're looking through them. I am only going to have sponsors on the show that fit for the mission of the show. The line of gesture of this show is standing in solidarity with the vulnerable to our own point of vulnerability to reveal the truth and dignity and beauty of the human person. And I think Mike Lindell is a human being, and he kicked addiction. And he is a beautiful example of a man dancing around the planet Earth with a big smile, living joyfully, so happy, had a simple idea to create the perfect pillow. What a great idea. My pillow is the perfect pillow. And they have that discount I talked about at the front of the show on the Giza Dream Sheets. Go to MyPillow.com and use the code Jones. All right, this has been the first episode of Deep Cuts. Thank you, Michael.
A pleasure.
All right, until next time, the Jason Jones Show.
This has been the Jason Jones Show, powered by Mudhouse Media.